Today on Family Talk.
She was orphaned and abandoned at age 13, dropped out of high school at 14, brutally attacked at age 18, and then struggled for years to raise a blended family. But then one day she bought a bus and launched her kids into a musical group which has reached millions and touched hearts around the world. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're sharing an interview with Dr. Meg Meeker and Kathy Crab Hanna. Kathy is the mom and manager of the well-known Southern gospel group, The Crab Family. The Crab Family has over 27 Dove Awards, one Grammy Award, 92 top 10 singles, 25 number one songs, and 2 million records sold. But that's just the public face of the group. In her book, Stronger, Kathy shares the struggles and tragedy she has overcome and talks about how those trials have shaped her faith and her family. Before we start, let me point out this interview takes place on the floor of the International Christian Retail Show, so you might hear some background noise during the broadcast. Let's get to the program now. Here is Dr. Meg Meeker talking to Kathy Crab Hanna on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Meg Meeker. I'm here at the International Christian Retail Show in Orlando, Florida, with the Crab Family's mom and manager, Kathy Crab Hanna. The Crab Family is a well-known Southern gospel group with over 27 Dove Awards, one Grammy Award, 92 top 10 singles, 25 number one songs, and 2 million records sold. Kathy, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We are going to have fun. You have so much in your story. You were orphaned and abandoned at age 13. You dropped out of high school at 14. You were beaten by a random stranger. You have a blended family. You have so much to tell. But let's start with where the origins of your book, which is really we're going to talk about today,
right?
Stronger. So where does the book start?
It starts talking about my parents when I was a very young girl. Mm-hmm. My mother was so not perfect. She got a lot of things wrong, but she told me about Jesus, and she told me about Jesus every day. She had a lot of very different ideas about lots of things in life. She thought girls should marry by 16, rural Kentucky. Looking back, you know, you could be angry, but that was her generation.
That's what she knew.
That's all she knew. And I never really even had a discussion with her about it. I knew it was all she knew, and she thought it was presenting me with the best life that she could encourage me to have.
Was your dad in the home?
My dad was in the home, but my dad, on a Sunday afternoon, 3 weeks after my 13th birthday, he fell dead with a heart attack. My dad was a very successful businessman, self-made, not educated, very bright, had made an inroad into his business line. And he was really a rock. We knew financially we were sound. My mother never worked outside the home. Life was good. Their marriage wasn't good, but there was this level of security. But we lost him in an instant. My mother, when he died, she lost it. She just lost it. Mm-hmm. I was the last child, and they were older when I was born. And
were you the only child home?
I was the only child at home, and I was like an only child. My siblings were married.
Were you close with your father?
I was. He was gone a lot because he worked all the time. He was a workaholic type. And I spent much more time with my mother, who was what we would almost call a church, you know, I hate to use the word fanatic, but every time the doors were open, that kind of a person, you know. When I was 9 years old, I was in a church service, little country church, little round-bellied, white starch shirt preacher. And in those days, they wanted to have a baptism, and they just went to the creek. And I wanted God, always. It's one of those
little
things.
Little baby girl.
You don't know much about him.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. But you know you want him. And that particular Sunday, he said, we're going to go to the creek. And it was very, very cold. It was cold. We're going to go to the creek after church and baptize anybody that wants to be baptized. I wanted to do that. And I asked my mother. We went. And on that cold creek bank in February of whatever year that would have been, I felt God. in a way that would keep me for a long, long time. I will never forget the way I felt. I felt so much God that day that I had this thirst.
And you can still feel that feeling.
I can still feel it. I can close my eyes and be there. Mm-hmm. And so what I didn't know, but God knew, I needed that cold water experience because I was going to have some tough days.
A lot.
I was going to have some tough days at a young age.
Right.
I was not going to have the luxury of having that good, perfect childhood.
You had
tough
childhood.
Tough childhood.
13, your dad dies.
By 14, I found myself living in my aunt's backyard. My mother was so unhappy when my father died. She moved me 100 miles away to my aunt's, who had 6 kids of her own that were
Did you
home.
Say you lived in your aunt's backyard?
In a trailer.
So you lived in a trailer alone.
Yeah.
At age 14.
Yeah.
Outside the home of 6 cousins and your aunt.
Yes, in a rural area.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I just have to say that as a mom.
The biggest thing that was a stain on my future was I didn't have any parents on site.
And you dropped out of high school at 14?
Right.
So what did you do?
I listened to a lot of Christian music.
In your trailer?
Yeah.
Alone
in
the backyard?
And my cousins were there. But my mom diminished the need for education. But that's all she knew.
That's all she knew.
All she knew.
At 17, you had another huge trauma. What was that?
At 17, I'd gone to the hospital in Hartford, Kentucky, population 2,000, small little rural hospital, to take my friend food who had had surgery. And when I came back out to the parking lot, a man attacked me, a stranger that I did not know. He was going to kill me. He said, if you scream, I'll kill you.
Was he in your car?
He was standing beside my car. And when I resisted, he cut my throat, 43 stitches, and left me for dead in the parking lot of a hospital. He ran on foot. I fought. By the time he got to me, I had gotten in my car. And, you know, you have these reflexes that you really don't even know you have. And I floorboarded that engine to the, and it just held it, which causes a tremendous amount of noise, and I screamed. And when I screamed, he cut my throat.
And then ran.
And I bled, of course, and then ran.
Did they ever catch him?
No. I described him, and I know who he is, but he had an alibi. He had one person that said, no, that couldn't have been him because he was in the medicine room.
So he was a hospital employee?
Of sorts.
So he never went to jail?
Never went to jail. And ultimately, I was okay, but really not.
No.
My mind, I still, you know.
So when you went through that, who helped you recover?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
did you
much.
Have many friends? Was your sister? Did she
still
help you?
I have a great sister that's 14 years older than me that... At this point, when my mother kind of had so much meltdown, my sister moved to the area and started to kind of salvage.
Parenting you.
Yes, in about 16.
Did your mother come and help you after your accident?
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And my mother loved me.
I'm sure, yes.
You know,
yes.
You understand.
She just was doing the best she could do.
The best she could do.
Best she could do.
And I really have always known that. And what she gave me was enough.
She gave you Jesus.
She gave me Jesus.
Yeah.
So
she gave you Jesus.
She gave me the thing that would be there when she wasn't.
Mm-hmm. And then you move forward. You healed from that. When did you get married?
When I had my throat cut, I had been married for 3 weeks.
Really?
For 3 weeks.
Where was your husband? Did he?
He was at home.
So you were first married at 17?
At 17. My mother was happy.
Did you have a good marriage?
We were married for 15 years. Mm. It wasn't good.
And how many children did you have together?
2.
Okay.
And the backstory to the throat being cut is I had a baby, my first child, unplanned. You of all people know
it's
how
amazing.
Dangerous.
Oh, it's a miracle you didn't lose your baby.
It's a miracle that she was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most traumatic year of my life was the next year. I was mentally very unhealthy. I couldn't stand to go from here to there.
You must have been
alone.
Terrified.
I was like a 3-year-old.
You had horrible PTSD.
looked horrible. Still struggle some.
And at that time, people didn't really talk about PTSD.
They didn't even.
They didn't know
what
it was.
I never heard the term until, you know, many years later. Right. Nobody got it. A lot of people prayed for me. And that's good. That's what kept me, no doubt. But I learned, and my kids tell me now that I could talk to that pole over there. I talked through this with anybody that would let me. And what I was doing was I was therapeutically placing rational thoughts just to look at and go, okay.
You have to, what I call, externalize your pain. It has to come out. Because if you leave it on the inside, it has power, doesn't it?
It does.
Was your husband supportive? Was he empathetic? Was he helpful?
He was, but he was 19.
Right.
He was a child.
Yeah.
You know, some people are born, then they fight things head on. They address issues, and they put the fire out. Some people are born problem solvers. Mm-hmm. I'll take care of this. You rest assured. You're the injured party. You're the vulnerable one right now. I've got this. Mm-hmm. He did not have that personality. Mm-hmm. It was almost like he was more scared than I was.
Mm-hmm. So you went through your 20s, married to him. Is it fair to say during that time you were recovering from your...
It's fair, yes.
...beating?
And the person that did that lived within 5 miles of my house.
Stop. Did you see him?
Yes. Often. And I taught my children to be afraid of him, mm-hmm. which I had to.
Right. So did they know? Did your husband know he was the man?
Yes. The whole community knows.
Did you just want to move away?
I did. And I wanted to move because I did not want to live in fear. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be 1,000 miles away. But the only support system I knew was my sister. Mm-hmm. And at this time, my mother was back in the area. And my in-laws were very good to me. And my friends. I had a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how to leave. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to do it financially, and I certainly did not know how to do it emotionally.
How did your marriage end with your first husband? Or when did it end?
It ended when I was about 33.
Why?
I don't really like to talk negatively about somebody, mm-hmm. at, you know, this many years later. It's my children's father. It's
exactly.
My grandchildren's
good grandma. For you. Where did you go?
You know, when I was 15, I went and took a GED test. And they gave me the certification at 17. At 25, I went back to school. My husband lost his job, and I had to go to work before I finished my degree, which was probably the biggest blessing ever. And I got a really good job, and I got promoted. And by this time, I was very financially independent. Mm-hmm. I bought a house. Got divorced.
And your two kids moved in?
Moved in.
And you're still in Kentucky?
Still in Kentucky.
How did you meet your second husband?
I worked at Roberts Motors, which was a General Motors dealership. I had a management job there. And I was walking to my car, and this person spoke to me. Well, remember, it's a parking lot. It's 7 o'clock at night. Well, I flinch.
Were you terrified? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do parking lots. And I realized that he had on a uniform, like a blue uniform from the dealership that I worked at. So, like, okay, he works here. Now, I'm not quite as terrified. And he said, I know you from home. He was from the same county I was from. And he was playing a guitar sitting beside an old car, just a beat-up junkie car. And he said, can I play you one song? I'm a songwriter. I said, okay. That'll be all right, but let's make it quick. I got to get home. Mm-hmm. So he pulls out an old battered suitcase full of dog-eared paper with songs written and sings me a song that ends up being a big Crab Family hit 10 years later.
It's your husband. What was the name of the song?
Still Holding On.
Still Holding On. When you heard this song, what happened to you?
Well, I was so confused because I said to him after he sang the song, I said, okay, because I'm straightforward. I just don't mince a lot of words. I said, I don't get it, because if you wrote that song and you know that much about God, why are you sitting here beside a $300 car?
Right. In a parking lot at 7 o'clock at night.
A window broken out of it with whiskey on your breath. in a parking lot at 7 o'clock at night.
What did he say?
He said, I was once in good fellowship with God. I was a minister, but I lost everything.
So where did your relationship go from there? How did you develop a relationship that obviously led to marriage?
I'm a fixer. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I've got that horrific negative personality trait that when I see someone with tremendous potential that has just squandered it, mm-hmm. it bothers me so deeply. And I could see that this talent was extreme. Mm-hmm. He cried a lot. You know, there was a brokenness there.
So did you literally sort of pick him up and bring him home?
No, but I tried to say, you got to get it together. You need to live right.
And he did?
And he did. I think he did. I mean, it appears that he did. It's very complicated. It's very
out
of
character. Are you still married to him?
No.
Okay.
He left 10 years ago. Mm.
But how long were you married?
15.
So you were married 15 years. So he's sitting in a dealership. And you're going, okay, I'll listen to another song. And you go from that point where you feel sorry for this man, from all of a sudden you have this amazing musical career.
And that was a really pretty short time.
How did that happen?
We got married within 6 months or seven.
From 6 months to the time that he sang you that first song and you said, okay, and he had whiskey on his breath.
Yes.
And you got married.
6 or 7 months later. He had these four sweet kids. If I really told the truth today, and I guess I'm gonna, they were two-thirds of, I was very drawn to those kids, and my kids love them, and they love my kids. And most people, it's the reverse. You marry the parent, mm-hmm. and you don't want the kids. I mean, I see this so much.
You wanted to parent those kids.
Well, I wanted to help.
So now you go from two kids, pretty good income, very independent, good solid job. You marry this man, now you have six kids in your home.
Right.
And were you supporting everybody?
Pretty much.
So how did the music career all come about?
When I was 37, by this time I sold my house in Kentucky, and he wanted to preach again. He cleaned up. So we bought a church. It's an old country church building.
You bought a church.
I bought a church.
Did your children like your husband?
They loved him. It was an odd blend, but they learned a lot from him in that season. It ended not so good, and he's been totally out of their life for 10 years. Mm-hmm. When he left them too. And there's not been any relationship. He chose not to have relationship mm-hmm. with them at all when he left me. So that part of our life has devastated them.
But during your marriage, that's a time when he was singing and your family was singing?
Well, he was preaching at this little church. You know, we could pack 100 people. It was tiny. And I was working. The kids were bored. We would have all of them on most weekends. So they became best friends with each other.
And they started to sing.
Wow.
Are they still singing?
Oh, yeah. They all still sing. Mm-hmm. But at 37, we found ourselves living in that church. And one night, the Lord just spoke to me just in a service and said, verbatim, if you worked for me as hard as you work for General Motors, millions would know him. And I said, God,
what do you mean by that?
Was that for me? Seriously, was like, okay. And I said, I don't think I'm your girl here, because I couldn't have imagined in my wildest dreams. I couldn't even really imagine that they would have a singing group that people would pay money to go hear. They just weren't there yet. Mm-hmm. Having this independent, good job, having come from where I came from, there was a lot of me attached to that independent good job. Oh, and yes. And for me to just say, oh, sure, God, I'll go quit my job.
It was your security.
It was my security.
And if there's one thing that you learned growing up with such a terribly hard life, you'd experienced divorce, abandonment, trauma,
yes,
PTSD. You had a good job. You could pay some bills. You had a roof over your head. You were feeding your kids. And God says, come work for me and maybe leave this behind. You must have been terrified.
Well, I said to God during this service, and I can't even explain what I was wearing that day, you know, those moments that are like freeze framed. And I said to God, God, I'm the biggest tithe payer at this church. And God, you know how generous I am. You know how much I help people with that really good job. You know, I was really giving myself some kudos here. Really giving
rationalizing,
myself.
Rationalizing.
Yeah. And explaining to God what I thought he might have not been tallying up at the moment. Anyway, I rejected. And I left that church service feeling like I never felt this in my whole life until that night, ever. I had always felt like God was a snap away. Hit my knees, there he is. Hit my knees, there he is. You know, where I always knew he was always present. And I left that night feeling like I had put a divider. And in a real serious way. So I told my husband about it. I told him that I felt really led to consider a change. And I didn't want it. And he didn't want, he's like, no, that's not going to happen. You can't do that. You have to have this income because we can't do this otherwise. He's the pastor of the church. And he didn't have take a salary.
And he's the one telling us. Kathy, we're out of time. The book is Stronger. You finish the end of the story in Stronger, don't you?
Oh,
so,
yes.
So that divide between you and God when God spoke to you that day, is it fair to say that was the beginning of a completely different chapter in your life?
It's fair. And God did a really, I put a fleece before God, a huge fleece. And God did a miracle that is unlike any I've ever witnessed since.
Can you, in 30 seconds, tell us the miracle?
A friend of mine that was dying on life support, they'd given her up. She was going to be dead within days. I said, God, if you raise her up, she had two babies still in diapers. If you raise her up and heal her, I'm out and I'm in with you.
Listen to you. That's something. Yeah.
I mean, that's strange.
You were serious.
I was serious. If you will supply bread and water for my family and shelter, I'm out. And that's all. I had no idea that 25 number one songs and 20 whatever Dove Awards. And I had no earthly idea that I didn't even know what a Dove Award was, probably.
And that's how the Crab family was birthed.
That's how it was
the
birthed.
Second part of your life. Are you glad that you took that leap of faith?
Absolutely.
And put that, yeah.
And
yeah.
Millions have been
millions,
touched.
Yeah. So what does the word stronger mean, the title of your book?
You know, I wanted to title the book, and I've sent a text out to my girls who I have feedback from a lot, and actually my stepdaughter, Tara, I sent five choices, and she said, anybody that knows you knows that's the title, Stronger.
Stronger.
Because whatever life is going to throw at you, you're going to slap back at it and push through it, and you're going to make it.
Yeah.
So I just, that was it. It was that simple. Mm-hmm. But, you know, without a trial, we have no strength.
You've walked through little fires, medium fires, huge fires, and to sit here and look at you today, you'd never know. I mean, you just look like one of those successful professional women that just walk through the door. You're beautiful. You're beautifully dressed. And I'd look at you and go, boy, she has a great, easy life.
Well, I do have a great life.
You have a great life.
But I have really had to fight to have it.
Yeah. Kathy, I'm so glad I met you. And I believe that so many more millions are going to be blessed through your book than even through your music. And I would ask that our listeners would pray for the book and that God would take it to the far end of the earth, because it's a powerful, wonderful message in there. Thank you for letting God work so beautifully in your life.
Thank you for having me.
What an amazing life story. Kathy Crab Hannah has had more than her share of adversity. But as she proclaims in the title of her book, the trials have made her stronger because they have given her a deeper faith in God and in herself. She is truly an inspiration to everyone facing struggles and challenges of life. Kathy reminds us that when we have Jesus, we have everything we need to face any storm or meet any challenge. There is so much more to Kathy's story, so I encourage you to pick up a copy of Stronger and learn more about this courageous woman. You'll find a link to the book at our website, drjamesdobson.org. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
When you become a parent, you find out quickly that kids don't come with instruction manuals, but you'll be glad to know that now they do, or at least with an iPhone app, free from Family Talk. This app personalizes resources around where you are in life. Whether you're a mom, dad, or looking for encouragement in your marriage, this app is for you. The app is packed with parenting and marriage advice from the expert on such matters, Dr. James Dobson. Go to the Family Talk website at drjamesdobson.org/app to download your free customized Family Talk app today.